Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
I'm joined in studio tonight by a fantastic guest. Typically, we speak to a few of his colleagues and counterparts at FNB Wealth and Investments, Thembile Bopela, Chantal Marks, and we ask them, what's happening in the markets? What about the Rand? These company results. And essentially, those are the guys who work on the trading floor, helping us distill the price-earnings ratios and dynamics of all these businesses and companies we talk about. But someone who leads up this team and, of course, provides strategy, direction, and, of course, clarity on the outcomes that we would like to gain on the back of FNB Wealth and Investments is the CEO of this division, Mr. Peggy Mkhize. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Good evening, Gugu. Good evening to the listeners.
I'm excited to speak to you. I just threw in a special shout out to your colleagues because they really, really help us out. So appreciate their time and effort when they speak to us.
No, thank you. They help everyone out.
I can imagine. You too, because they're part of your team and they help not only your clients, they help with the business strategy and, of course, the overview of the direction that you're taking FNB Wealth and Investments to. But for someone who's listening to this and they're thinking, shoo, this is a huge bank and there's a wealth and investments division, what do you actually do when you have to explain this to someone who might not have an understanding of the efforts of the bank?
Yeah, so what we do in our division is we help clients reach their goals. We help them, we educate them around short-term, medium, long-term goals and the ability to save. We try and simplify it by putting it into buckets that they link it to goals. But essentially, it's to help people invest, save for retirement, invest for a holiday, invest for kids' education and save for kids' education one day and be able to access the market, whether in the South African market, local or offshore, across various asset classes in hopefully a simplified way. And we partner with the broader bank to ensure that we can deliver on that to clients in an integrated way. And we always say money is emotional.
Yes.
And I guess in a lot of instances we discuss around how there's not enough disposable income. So our role is also to help people. How can we help them free up cash flow, pay off, as much as you might not believe we're a bank, but we also try and help them pay off the more expensive debt, reduce debt, free up cash flow to be able to save for investing, have a will in place, be able to protect their assets with insurance and stuff. So that's what we do.
Exactly. I want us to come to the consumer in just a moment because as you've described, you really take the consumer and the client on a journey of saying, what is it that you want from your life? Because that's essentially where the emotion then stems from. And these are the guidelines or the tools that we're equipped with to actually get there. But when one does take a look at your division, you've been there since 2011, if I'm not mistaken, really helped to develop various outcomes within the business. And if I'm not mistaken, seeing at least a 20% increase in your assets under management, leading it to a business unit that is valued at over 100 billion rand in assets. Those are big numbers. And I can imagine as a leader, it comes with understanding the integrated solutions that you alluded to that you can deliver to clients. Maybe talk us through that, just like what that entails in terms of an executive role and ensuring that you're able to grow a division of the business, which contributes to the greater growth of the bank.
Yeah, so I guess business is made out of people. The most important aspect of our business is our people. And those are the people that talk to clients every day, will pick up the phone when clients are anxious about markets and calm them down to say, stay invested.
And that's a real thing, right? People really see the rand in free fall at 20.
It is a real thing. But those are the people that actually come up with the products, the solutions, etc. So a lot of time is spent around, aligning behind a vision, having a strategy in place, how we're going to go to market, how we're going to simplify things for clients, how we're going to make sure we have the right culture to be able to respond to clients easily. I mean, yesterday we had a long discussion around things around, a sunset clause that we never get to the end of the day without having responded to a client's query or complaint as that type of thing. Aligning behind understanding those assets you refer to are actually client assets. So we're just a fiduciary business on behalf of clients, and how do we protect them and then grow them with the ambitions of clients? So it's those aspects that you need to cater for. But it's people, it's technology, it's yes. integrating all those facets, and then it's also ability to, you know what's going on all over the world.
Yes.
Geopolitical issues, economic issues, macros, and be able to respond and look after those client assets responsibly. So there's a lot that goes into it.
100%. You're quite right. And we do get that feedback. And maybe let's just talk about how volatile it's really been, especially since you've journeyed with the bank. You know, we've witnessed not only the pandemic, of course, even concerns around commodity price booms and busts that we've seen previously before that. Coming out of the pandemic, now we see the geopolitical crisis, whether it's Russia and Ukraine, ongoing unrest within the Middle East. And of course, the antics that took place outside the White House come this past April, and where we still are now. This must add ongoing sleepless nights for yourself and your team.
it does, especially when you don't know the outcomes, because uncertainty is one thing that markets, financial markets, don't like, and that's been the period, right, we've been in since, I guess, even pre-Liberation Day being 1 April.
Yes.
There was quite a little bit of uncertainty, but I think as a team, and I think in the market, we're starting to adjust to that. That will be the norm around uncertainty, and whether it's global conflict, political events and stuff, and also clients are getting a lot more educated around don't panic. You know,
yes.
we've seen these things before. We've had experiences around
and isn't that the
crisis
lesson?
And also even the pandemic. So even if I give you an example, I mean in the pandemic when markets were in free fall, we had lots more queries, concerns from clients. This time in April, we didn't have many, despite the volatility.
Wow.
And I think people are understanding that markets will go up, markets will go down, but actually, the value of staying invested is, and they tend to recover even stronger after each crisis or crash. The markets definitely respond to be stronger than before.
That's very true. But if we just take a look at what's happened in the last 8 weeks, it's evident of those particular moves and that recovery that we see as well. And it also speaks to a great level of, I guess, investor education. And I say this because I often see and read the newsletters that you share, information that you share with your clients via the app, the level of relationship that you have with your clients as well. And I think that's also an important one for us to discuss, because no client is the same in terms of their investment and wealth building journey. Others are just starting out. Others are receiving money from the baby boomer generation and our third generation heirs to wealth, and are used to, having excess money at their disposal. And that brings about different intricacies to the kind of solutions that you have to bring forward. Take us on that journey, especially as to, how you approach it, but the lessons that we need to learn as well as South Africans.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, no investor journey is the same. The one thing, we play across the spectrum, so from people starting in an entry level, first time investing, right through to, your ultra high net worth clients. And what we try to do is make sure in our journeys we tailor our messaging to that particular cohort of clients. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, one of the things we've had to demystify quite a bit is, for a long time, investing was almost seen as this is something for the rich,
yes.
or I'll get to it one day, or
yes.
Whereas we've tried to say, listen, start early, start from as little as possible, whether it's that 300 rand a month, if that's all you can afford, or even, we've got products which give you global exposure from as little as 10 rand.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to position that, particularly in the entry or lower level segments, around just start with anything, just that will help. And then the messaging there is then also, once you invested, how do we keep you educated around the value of staying invested? And when you change jobs, don't cash out on your
yes.
pension, as an example. So similarly, in the top end, the conversations are different, but the themes are the same. It's still around staying invested. Do you have the right structures?
Mm.
Do you have, the right estate planning in place, etc.? So it's the theme as a whole is similar, but we do tailor it for the various markets and also try to simplify the jargon, because people hear investment jargon that you plays out on your show every day, and then they think this is not for me, it's for somebody else. So we try, even in our languaging, deliberate to try and just speak normal daily language.
That's true. Yeah. When we're out here saying, well, we're chasing alpha, and right now the PE ratio of this company is not doing so well, and their NAV.
Correct.
Yeah. Essentially, trust the experts, like the Chantal and her team, to actually manage that. And ultimately, you just need to get a better understanding of, are you on track with your investment goals? Speaking of investment goals, we can't ignore that part of your division has also released the 2025 Retirement Insights Survey. It's now in its third year, if I'm not mistaken. And when we do take a look at the numbers, number one, we're well aware a lot of South Africans don't have enough money to actually retire. Beyond that, Two-Pot, in as much as it has provided a level of reprieve for customers who are in need, but it's also exposed us to the fact that, geez, we might be, you know, giving off long-term gains for, you know, short-term wins. I'm keen just to get your insights there. You know, sometimes we work so hard for our money and we want to enjoy it now without understanding that there's still a future to prepare for.
Yeah, that's correct. I think, look, we expected a bit of that spike with when Two-Pot went live. Mm-hmm. The reality is, even the data on our surveys still shows us that the disposable incomes are under pressure, especially as you move into sort of the lower income segments. People spending a lot of money on transport, accommodation, and those things, and credit, and they just don't have anything left to invest. So, when the opportunity did come to be able to take some of that, I think some people utilized it. Obviously, the tax was quite a big part. But I think overall, with Two-Pot in the long run, will probably be more positive for investors and then for the industry, because the two-thirds that people are forced now to save until retirement, I think that's a good thing that will, at least help the situation that people get to retirement with something. So I think government tried to strike a happy medium between demands of, wanting some access to liquidity for an event. It's meant to be for an event where, I don't have a job anymore or any income, like an emergency, rather than just for consumption. So it's not meant to be that you tap into it because, my grocery bill this month, etc. So it's meant to be for really those type of emergencies rather than, the day-to-day type spending. Exactly. So I think it will normalize and people should be better off. We still have a challenge, though, around retirement in South Africa.
100%. Well, if you've just joined us, it's a little before 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, and we are in conversation with the CEO of FNB Wealth and Investments, Begim Khize. Really taking a look at the overview of Wealth and Investments as a division of FNB, and of course their growth, product offering, leadership dynamics, and how they manage the dynamics that we often discuss on a day-to-day basis, being the markets, the politics, and all the rigmarole around the shifts as well in company results and updates that we also get to witness. Because ultimately, this plays an influence, Beggy, in the various asset classes that folks are able to invest in, whether it's cash, for the fixed income space, or even equities, which typically is a heightened focus. And it also speaks to the kind of investment packages and products that you provide for South Africans. I want us to touch on that particular point, making it easier for South Africans to have exposure to exchange-traded funds, exchange-traded notes, but also understanding that as we look to build and create wealth, we also need to be cognizant about the fact that this wealth needs to be dispersed at some point. So whether that's, bequeathed to your loved ones and a different generation that needs to prepare for it, or even towards philanthropic efforts.
Yes. So I think we, like I said, we try to take the complexity out for clients around things, the asset class story that you spoke to around, how much should I have offshore versus local. We take care of that within our construct and our product construct. The debates around should I be in active or passives, I think there's space for both. We also try to simplify it for clients across that. And then your point around, people, when they do get to retirement, what do I do with this money? Because some will say to, I don't want to leave it for my kids. I want to spend it myself. and you get quite a bit of that. But I think, you know, the whole thing around planning for future is also around, it's not to say you won't have some to enjoy and do what you want to do, travel a bit, etc. But, you know, it must also see you to the end of life. We're
yes.
living longer.
Mm.
The challenge is people think, you know, I'll get to 60, 70 and maybe I've got enough for that. What happens if you live to 95, 100?
Yeah.
We're living longer, and then 60, which is what used to be the retirement age, is people are still young. They want to start second careers.
Mm.
They want to continue. They're still economically active, and I think that's going to continue as we have, you know, more science and medicine that's helping us, AI
yes.
being able to get, you know, medical attention. Linked to you specifically based on your DNA.
Yes.
Those things are all going to increase and help us live longer. So I think the retirement topic and having enough is going to be even more of an issue as we go along.
100%. And I think this is important to talk about. Let's talk AI and technology, because again, sometimes in different circles, it's still perceived and met with a level of fear. At times we think, okay, this is just going to make life super easy. But what influence is it having for your division of the bank?
Look, it's having influence in terms of, you know, ease of processes, that things that used to take a lot longer, that we now can see that if we invest quite a bit in it, can take out some of those mundane repetitive tasks, as an example. It will have an impact around our customer experience pieces. There's certain things that we're able to do a lot easier, and clients can engage us in a much more efficient way. We're able to be more productive, so it's going to definitely make us productive.
Mm.
If you think of the amount of like a research team within our space, how much they have to go through, some of the stuff, you know, can be simplified a lot easier for them. I think there's lots, like, within our industry. And then in the broader sort of society, which is also some of the themes that we invest in client money into, we're seeing quite a lot of impact of AI in the space. I mean,
oh, wow.
Obviously some of the shares that everybody talks about,
Nvidia just cetera, today, yeah,
would come to mind. But those are having a massive impact on returns, how much people can performance in terms of funds and investment portfolios. So
sure.
So I think that's going to continue. You can link that with, you know, some of the issues around sort of robotics and the assistance that
yeah.
you're going to have in that space. So I think the next few years is going to be interesting. And I don't think it's going to completely, you know, the fear is always around jobs,
mm.
and what that's going to do. I think every single revolution we've had in society has actually created more employment, but made us more efficient, right? So,
yes.
So I think this will be quite similar. There are things that we've also realized that, you know, AI is good at. There's things it's not good at. So, you know, we spoke just now about, you know, market crash and clients being panicking.
Yes.
You know, in that scenario, client wants somebody empathetic to tell
yes.
me that I must calm down and I'll be fine. I'm not sure some of, you know, the tools and tech will be able to calm you down.
Can you
it
imagine
might actually
a bot
irritate
telling
you more. Exactly.
Relax. So, don't do anything.
Correct. So I think even in our world, it there will still be a need for people.
100%. And maybe let's wrap it up on that people aspect, Peggy. I love that you've been able to give us, you know, a lot more detail around the strategy of the business, the role and function of your division, how it is that you ride the wave and take your customers and clients on that journey with you in order for everyone to really attain, you know, the life that they want to have. As you mentioned, money is emotional, but it always comes back down to people. And you've given us a few principles that we do need to bear in mind when it comes to building and creating wealth for ourselves as individuals. And for many of our Kaya 959 listeners, you know, people are under stress, as you've mentioned. Some are entrepreneurial and some are still on the journey of actually creating wealth, while others, you know, might be well established on that route. But if there was one key lesson, again, that speaks to people and the emotions we have around money, what are those key lessons that we should be mindful of in our journey to creating wealth?
I think probably the biggest one I'd say is, you know, there's no like shortcuts. So if somebody, the challenge we have is somebody comes to you and say, listen, invest this, in 2 weeks time it's going to be triple.
Ooh.
Okay, that doesn't, there's no free lunch.
Yeah.
That's the, my essence of message is the people that have created lots of wealth over time, whether it's your Warren Buffett, etc. I mean, you've probably seen the stat. Warren Buffett created most of his wealth post age 65, but he had started investing way before then, probably 50 years prior to that. So it's a hard slog to get to a point where you financially well, and there's no free lunch other than, let's say, diversification.
Yeah.
You need to have a diversified portfolio. You need to work on and be good at what you do and where you earn your money. But preferably then diversify sort of your portfolio and don't get stuck with a quick fix. You can play the lotto here once in a while, but understand that's money you can lose, but that's not the real world around. If somebody's promising you something that's too good to be true, it probably is. Doesn't exist. That would probably be my one
key takeout
for people.
Fantastic. Biggie, such a pleasure speaking to you. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. And also just expanding the messaging to so many more of members of the Kaipers family on the conversations we have and the people that you work with that often update us on the markets, but really understanding it's a 360 degree view of how it is that we journey into building and creating wealth. Thank you so much. And looking forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Thank you to the listeners.
Fantastic. That is Biggie Mkhize, the CEO of FNB Wealth and Investments, joining us on Pivot Point tonight. Hopefully you've all walked away with going back to the fundamentals and the basics of what it takes to actually build wealth. And make sure, like with all things, that you do speak to an accredited financial planner, wealth planner as well, who can actually guide you in terms of the conversation that we've been having here today. Critical, critical, critical that you speak to an expert before just deciding to take decisions by yourself. It's 28 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.